Boker Tov world. Okay, today's daffin, Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yirakadesh, is Daf Lamed Vav. And we got right up to the beginning where we were discussing yesterday, and we're still in the middle of that sugya. The we had in the Mishnah. Where the Tanakhama assumes that it's the dam that would normally be mashir meat in order to be bekabel tumah, and therefore discuss the situation where there was no dam in the shechita. And Rabbi Shimon said that actually it isn't the dam that's mashir, it is the actual shechita that's mashir. And he therefore understood that this is not considered to be dam chalalim, as we finally managed to uncover in the din Aliba de Rav Asi, that Rabbi Shimon actually holds that dam is not machshir of shechita, because it's not considered to be the dam chalalim. What about the extra pasuk of ala aretz tishpachenu kemayim? That, he says, is coming to tell me that psulei hamukdashim are not usher by ana of their blood. You might have thought less things that we learned. You might have thought since they're usher by gizav aveda, there's also an iser hana'ah, like on other kachim. Kamashmalan, there is not. That's what we learned. And now we'd like to actually move on to the next implication of the dinim of dam chalalim yishter. That is tana devei Rabbi Shmuel. So we're close to the top on Lamed Vav. So tana devei Rabbi Shmuel, another implication of dam chalalim yishter is that prat l'dam kiluach she'eino machshir hazira'im. Now, what exactly is dam kiluach that is not considered to be dam chalalim? So Rashi learns that dam kiluach is a reference to the dam of actual bloodletting for medical purposes of the behemah. And the way that medical bloodletting would work is that first a few drops of blood would come out, then the blood would start to flow. Bright red blood, which was not considered to be the dam chalalim, and then the deep colored blood, the dark colored blood, close to black, that is considered to be dam chalalim, because that is dam that the nefesh is yotzei bo, and because of that is considered to be the equivalent of dam chalalim. It carries the lifeblood, so to speak. The lifeblood is this dark blood. Fine. That's how Rashi learns, the Rambam learns. There's no reason to learn dam kibuach as being the dam kibuach of a bloodletting. Dam kibuach is referring to the dam of shechita. But the question is, what is the or a dam of cutting? Obviously, it depends if you hold like the Tanakhama or you hold of Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's not referring to shechita. But since Lamaisa, the dam chalalim, even at the shechita, when you have a deep cut like that, you also have the same, first a bright red blood that spurts out, and then you have the deeper colored blood that comes out. So that dam kiluach, which is the bright red blood, is not considered to be the dam chalalim, because it's not dam shanefesh yotzibo. And because of that, even if it fell on top of Zrayim, it would not be considered to be dam that is one of the Shiva Mashkim. So Tanur Rabbanan, let's take a look at the implications of these dinim, the Gabi dinim of Shechita, and other blood that is on a pri. So you can imagine a situation like this, and this is going to involve us in the definition of Shechita that we spoke about earlier. Remember our machlokas about Yesher l'Shechita mitchilo v'atzof, or Eino l'Shechita, very fundamental machlokas, about whether the act of shechita is considered to be a technically defined shechita. We said that, for instance, somebody was shechit b'chutz, and he shechted less than a heta shechita b'chutz. In the end, that was the way Rabbi Yosef had explained it. And he's walking inside to the Azara at the same time. By the time he gets to Rov, it's already in the Azara. Is that considered to be an act of shechita, to be chayav or shechita chutz? Or up until the time that he shechted the rov, it was just basically cutting through a neck, which is not an iser to do b'chutz. So that was the machlokas we had earlier. That machlokas has implications in a situation like this. Let's imagine that somebody is shochet, And there's a pumpkin sitting nearby. Now, this is a picked pumpkin, and therefore it is able to be moksha kabatuma, and some of the blood splashes onto that poor pumpkin that was just sitting there. Now, that blood, of course, is a blood of the shechita. Problem is, if you hold according to Rabbi Asi, that according to Rabbi Shimon, shechita and not dam is what is going to be machshir. So therefore, we wouldn't have any kind of question in this case. But if you hold, like a Rebbe holds over here, that the dam itself is actually machshir v'kabel tumah, not like Rav Hoshaya that we had in the Braita before, we were going to see, then the din would be like this, says Rebbe, since it's dam of shechita, and I hold the dam of shechita is machshir, so memela, it would be obviously mukshir kabel tumah, because even though you didn't want the pumpkin to get splattered, but remember that any mashke which is tfilas or it doesn't have to be l'ratzon in terms of the actual pre getting wet. So this would be a classic case. Rebbe Chiya says, no, tolmin. That's not very clear what he means by tolmin. Tolmin means you leave it hanging. Now, the pashtus that means that the way we usually use the word tolmin is that if you're dealing with truma and kachim, where you're not allowed to burn something if you're not 100% sure, it's called tolmin. Lo ochlin, lo sorfim. That's the common use of the word tolmin. Now, tolmin could also mean, of course, that the issue remains up in the air, as we would say in English, tolmin, you hang it in the middle of the air. So we're tolmin until some additional facts become clear. So let's try to figure out what precisely Rabbi Chiya meant when he said tolmin and why. So Rabbi Hoshaya says that, look, if Rabbi says hukshin and Rabbi Chiya says tolmin, what should we do halacha l'maaseh? Oh no, I mean this. I say, let's bring in another shita, Rabbi Shimon. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, I'll show you Rabbi Shimon over here, shita machsheret velo dam. I understand Rabbi Shimon to be exclusive to shita. Put together Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Chiya, and then you're telling me that this is not going to be mukshir kabel tumah. Okay, what does this all mean? So let's start from the beginning. Amar of Papa. Look, Rebbe and Rebbe Chiya, I say, both of them agree that if the blood was on the pumpkin the whole time until you finish the Shechita, so then everybody would be made it that it is machshir, because they both agree that the din is not like Rebbe Shimon, and that dam Shechita is machshir l'kabel tumah. So what are they arguing about? They're arguing about a case where the blood spurts onto the pumpkin after the shechita of the kana, but before the shechita of the vesha. Somebody wipes the blood off the pumpkin immediately, and the shechit continues shechting the vesha. Now the shechita is completed, but the problem is that at the time that the dam hit the pumpkin, the shechita had not been completed. So that's what we're arguing about. Siman, and Rebbe would hold Yeshna, which means that the original blood that came even before you finished up the Shechita is part of a Meiser Shechita, and therefore it's defined as Dam Shechita, Lahalocha, and Dam Shechita is considered to be one of the Shiva Mashkin, because he's not holding like Rebbe Shimon. And therefore, according to him, what do I care if it was wiped off? At the time that it fell, it was already high dam shechita. Whereas Rabbi Chiya holds that ein ele shechita ela lo besof, and therefore this is a dam of a maka, because at that point it wasn't called shechita, and dam of a maka is not considered to be dam chalalim. Therefore, there was no dam of shechita on this pumpkin, and memela it would be not mukshir l'kabel tumah. So if in fact, if it was there the whole time, even if you hold like Rabbi Chiya, it's still going to be considered to be a dam of shechita. Because when we were talking about dam being compared to mayim in the case of shechita, which is, remember, ala aris tishkachenu kamayim, second pasuk that we brought, It's not referring specifically to the dam that is coming from the moment of Shechita itself. It's talking about the dam of a Meiser Shechita. It doesn't matter whether it's defined as Shechita, because the concept of Shechita is not important in terms of this din. The concept of Shechita is Nogea Dinim of Shechita, but the question of Dam Shechita is not because it has a halacha of Shechita. It's because of the fact that if you hold that that too is Dam Chalalim, so that means that the entire process is certainly, if it ends up killing the animal and it's considered to be Alar Tishbechen or Kemayim, it would be included in that din. The only reason that he said that if it's wiped off, that then it's not considered to be, is because it has to be like Alo Aretz Tishbechenu Kamayim. But this is not really Kamayim, because at the time that it fell, we don't really know whether this is Dam Chalolim yet until we see what happens. Whereas Mayim is Mayim is Mayim. So a Dam that needs yet to be defined later is not considered to be the equivalent of Mayim. And because of that, if it's going to be making it Mukhshar Kapotuma, it has to be at a time that we know that this was actually the dam of an act that would have made it Mukhshar Kapotuma. Fine. So now, when we say, according to this, when Ruchia says Toilin, what did he mean? He simply meant Toilin. We're Toila until we finish the Shechita. And if the Dam is still there, Toilin HaDover Ad Gemar Shechita. If the Dam is still there when we finish the Shechita, so then that means that this is Dam of Alo Aretz Tishbechenu Kamayim, and it's compared to Mayim. But if not, if we're there at the end of Shechita and we look at that pumpkin and there's no Dam on it, then it will not be Makshir. And when he says, Rav Oshaya says, well, what do? Let's bring in the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, and then we can be semich on that. What does that mean? How does Rabbi Shimon add up to make it two against one against Rabbi? It's not the same as Rabbi Chia. I mean, according to Rabbi Shimon, Dam Shechita is never Makshir at all, even if it is there at the end of the Shechita. And according to Rabbi Chia, it is Makshir. So how can we put the two Shechitas together and make it two against one and say, well, now we have Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Chia against Rabbi? It isn't. Well, wait, in this particular case, it is, because if the Dam was wiped off, so then they support each other, right? Because both Rabbi Chia is not Makshir. I mean, for one reason, because it's not yet completed Shechita. But Rabbi Shimon is not Makshir, because he says, even if it is Dam Shechita, it's not Makshir. Okay, but the bottom line is they both say the same thing, but for completely different reasons. True, but nonetheless, Rabbi remains a Das Yochid against both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Chia. So Havile Rabbi Chad, the end of our Rav Shel Chad, Vilmakom Shnai. So since Lamaisa, we have two against one, we paskin like the two. Now, this is really a fascinating thing, because halacha lemaisa, in terms of the way in which we paskin halachas for Avera Hara, there's a very big machlokas of the kalim of the Shulchan Aruch about whether this is actually a proper way to paskin. Because remember, from the time of the tour, we've been looking at the das of the rove of the shitas as being kovei the halacha between the major paiskim, right? So now the question is a rove like this considered to be a rove, where one shita paskins because of X and the other shita holds anti-X, but because of some other factor, because of Y, they happen to agree in this case against paisik Z. So is that considered to be a rove or not? This is like such a major issue, because the Shach says you cannot actually be semech on that kind of rov. That is not what it was that the tour was based on. And here the Gemara actually uses exactly that svara to make a psak. This is like an awful lot of discussions back and forth in the Achronim about this particular question. Is this considered to be a two against one halacha? Anyway, But getting back to our brisa, so that was one way of understanding the machlokas over here and the words of Rav Hoshaya, who says, let's bring in Rabbi Shimon and put it all together and we'll understand. Rav Ashi says, no, that the word tolin doesn't mean that. Look all over Shas and you'll see that tolin always means lo ochlim, velo sorfim. It means tolin, the din is tolin. Not we wait until we get additional information, but rather tolin means it has to hang. You'll never be sure. Therefore, you can't burn it because it's also to burn truma or kachim on the basis of a suffix tuma. And so you'll have to not eat it and just let it rot. There's nothing you can do. So I say that's the meaning of tolin over here. It's an absolute tolin. It's liolam. It's not we're waiting. And the truth is, according to Rabbi Chiya, there is a fundamental suffix where the dam was wiped off. What is this fundamental suffix? Whether yesh la l'shchita mitchila v'atzof. That's the suffix. So Rabbi Chiya says, look, Rabbi may be right, and this may be dam shchita because of yesh la l'shchita v'atzof, but I don't know how we paskin about yesh la l'shchita mitchila v'atzof. Maybe we do paskin that way. Or maybe ain't a l'shita ol b'sof, and therefore tolin means what it always means. My tolin lo ochlim v'lo sarfim. And when Rav Hoshaya comes along and says, "All right, what do we do? The only thing we can do is bov and nismoch al divrei Rabbi Shimon. So let's rely on Rabbi Shimon. How is that? Makes no sense. I thought according to Rabbi Shimon, dam shchita is never machshir." And according to Rabbi Chiya, it's a suffix, and it's therefore you cannot burn it or eat it. So how does Rabbi Shimon add up to Rabbi Chiya? Well, he adds up at least in terms of the Isser Sreifa. That's the only thing that he meant. But in Sreifa, they agree. One Shita, namely Rabbi Chiya, holds, don't burn it. The other Shita, namely Rabbi Shimon, says, don't burn it, but for completely different reasons. Rabbi says, you do burn it, because it definitely was Mekabel Tuma, since it was Mukshel Kabel Tuma in this fashion. So now, Rabbi becomes Echad B'mokam Shayim, Ve'ein Dvarav Shel Echad B'mokam Shayim. Therefore, we can't burn it, and we can't eat it either, because of the suffix that we haven't decided. But we're certainly not able to follow Rebbe, who says, definitely tummy. So therefore, what Rebbe Chiya meant was to go and sort, where you have a situation that the blood was wiped away, you're going to be left with the tolin lo ochlim v'lo sorfim. Okay. Now, another question that started off not being clearly related to this is the question that Rebbe Shimon ben Lakish, Rish Lakish, asked, that we spoke about when we were talking about the concept of Chibas HaKedash back in Zvachim. So what would be the din of a Tzrit Shel Minachot? So remember the case of a Tzrit Shel Minachot means the oil didn't get mixed properly throughout the mincha, and you've got like a hard lump of flour, solet. Flour is not really solet, but remember that flour is thicker than solet, but you have a lump of solet which was not penetrated by oil. So now the question is, that is going to be makabel tuma, but it's only going to be makabel tuma because of the din of chibat hakodesh. So remember the concept of chibat hakodesh is that anything that has that extra chavivus of kedusha makes it valuable in the eyes of Adam. And since the entire concept of Hekshel HaKabel Tuma has to do with when something becomes an instrument of human, and therefore it has an element of Dat in it, it's able to be Bekabel Tuma. So therefore, something that was Choshev, I can't read, I'm really sorry, Moshe. So the aspect over here would be this Tzrit Shel Minachos, though it was not exposed to Mashke because the oil didn't touch it. I want to know if the Tuma that we call coming from the concept of Hech, of Chibas HaKodesh, is that the equivalent of being exposed to a liquid? Or does Chibas HaKodesh simply mean that there is a concept of Kabbalah of a psul of Tumah, but it doesn't mean it's really Tumah because there wasn't really Hesher. And therefore, the thing itself can become Pusul, but it cannot pass on its Tumah as a Rishon would go to a Sheni and so on and so forth. It just is Pusul itself. That's what I want to know. So if you've got a Tzirit Shel Menachot, which is only Mukshel Lekabel Tumah, because it is a... Oh, I forgot to press the recording. All right, we have some recording. Okay, it's only Mekabel Tumah because of, even though not exposed to oil, it's Chibas HaKedesh. Do we count Rishon V'Sheni from it if something touches it? Because it's really Mukshar, and if it became Tameh, it's really Tameh? Or no, if it becomes Tameh, it's possible, but it doesn't really carry Tumah. And therefore, Ein Monin Bo Rishon V'Sheni. So here's my question. Kibahani Chibat HaKodesh, this din of Chibas HaKodesh, does that work for Ifsule Gufe? It makes the thing itself not Roy, and it's possible, but not Lemimne Be'rishim Hasheini, it's not really Mokshu L'Kabel Tumah, so there's no Tumah in it. Or is Chibas HaKodesh an alternative modality for real action? In which case, we would be Mona Rishim Hasheini. Omar Rabbi Elazar, well, I'll bring you a very clear raya. It says in the pasuk, "Mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel." Remember, this was that pasuk that we went through the whole sugya of one of the Shmona Shratzim, ki po miniv lasam. That was the idea of el toch, lo toch locho, and so on. So, what was it referred to over there? It says, "Mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel." If asher yavol of mayim, then itma. Okay, so now. Since the Torah defines the concept of Hechsher as specifically Asher Yavo Alav Mayim, that's what it says. Well, it seems very clear that only Ochel HaBaba Mayim Ukshar and Ochel She'eno Baba Mayim Lo Ukshar. It's telling you that there's no Hechsher, real Hechsher, unless it was actually exposed to real Mashke. And if there's no real Mashke, there's no real Heksher. You could bring me other takonas or whatever you want about Kibas HaKadosh, but it's not going to be real Heksher because it isn't Mayim. There's no Baba Mayim and or Mayim equivalent. So, of course, it doesn't have real Tumah. The Torah says it doesn't have real Tumah. What kind of Raya is that? I mean, come off it. You think Reish Lakish doesn't know that Pasek? It's like, Hatu, Reish Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Leslie, Ochel HaBaba Mayim. What, he doesn't know that it needs to be exposed to Mashke? Reb Shimon ben Lakish is saying, is this din of Chibas HaKodesh, which we're assuming is a halacha that is outside of the question of Baba Mayim, is it the same as Ochel HaBaba Mayim or not? That's what he's asking. So what you're bringing up is irrelevant. Obviously, it's based on the din of Hechsher, which we know is B'mayim, and we want to know how to view alternative modalities of Hechsher, such as Chibas HaKodesh, are they a full equivalent? That's all. So what are you saying? Wait, you don't understand. I wasn't just quoting the Pasuk. Rebbe Elazar was saying a real raya from the Pasuk because he says there's an extra Pasuk here. Look, remember that later on, just two psukim later, we have essentially the same idea repeated all over again for no particular reason that I can see. V'chiyutan mayim al zera, that's our favorite pasuk yitain, domya d'chiyutan, right? So v'chiyutan mayim al zera, v'nafal miniv latam alav tameyu. Okay? So we already know the din from there of Hechsher mayim. So what's all of this business about the klishores, nafal bitocho, mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel, asher nafal mayim, why do I need any of that? That's all extra. So k'tiv v'chiyutan mayim al zera. So why do we need that whole opening pasuk of mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel if it said that beferish in the second pasuk? Therefore, I'm telling you that pasuk is coming to tell me only nothing else. It's coming to tell me there is no other way to be machshir, and therefore it's ma'akev any other concept of hechsher. In which case, there must be that Chibas HaKodesh isn't true Hechsher. It's an ersatz Hechsher, which shares some dinim of Hechsher. but it doesn't share this din of Rishon Rishani and the whole story of Duma. It's just absurd, right? No, not necessarily. What makes you think it's an extra pasuk? One of these psukim is needed to tell me the din of Tumas Sheretz. That Tumas Sheretz is only mitame if it was Moshe Lekabel Tuma. But the other one is coming to tell me Tumas Mace, and that Tumas Mace is only makshir if you have a heksher is only mitame if you have a heksher before. Of course, the simple meaning of both of these psukim is they're talking about Tumas Sheretz. True. But remember the idea of im eino inyan la x, neu inyan la y, right? So we have im eino inyan la Tumas Sheretz, which you mentioned beferish, neu inyan la Tumas Mace. So therefore, I say, chad betumat mate, chad betumat sheretz, and we need two separate psukim to tell me the din of heksher in the two cases. Why? Because Yashmina Tumat made. So let's say all I would know is that in order for something to be Bekabel Tuma from Tumas Mace, it has to be exposed to water first. I would say, yes, Tumas Mace has a din that requires an entire kizayit in order to be Matami. But Tumas Sheretz is Matami even Bika'adasha. So therefore, I would say, Tamudaboy Heksher, maybe it's only for Tumat Mate that it's harder to make things tummy. If it's talking about a Tumas Mace, because you need a whole Kizayah, so maybe you also need Bias Mayim to be Makshir, Masha Inkein. If it comes to a Sheretz is Matami even with this tiny little size of one lentil. So Amaloliboy Heksher, maybe the Torah is also Makbid on the transference of Tumah from Tumas Sheretz, even without having Heksher Tumah before. And if it would have told us only Tumas Sheretz, so I would have said, okay, Tumas Sheretz, that's not such a strong Tuma. You don't become tummy for 7 days by touching a Sheretz. So therefore, in order to facilitate the transference of a lower level of Tuma of Sheretz, then you need Heksher. But Mace, which is Betami Tumas Shiva, that is such a powerful tumah. Who's to say that you need heksher for a case like that? Maybe mace would be batami even without heksher. Therefore, we need both psukim. Okay. Is it really possible to say that Rabbi Elazar obviously holds that we don't need both psukim. He holds that we're actually not minor rishon v'sheni from Chibas HaKodesh. Is that true, though? Take a look at our Mishnah. Here is where we understand why we brought this up now, Bichlal, because this is Megala, some of the dinim of Heksher that Rabbi Shimon was talking about. So take a look in our Mishnah, where Rabbi Shimon says, Hukshuru b'shchita. Now, the meaning of the word Hukshuru, b'pashtas, means Hukshuru. He doesn't introduce like a new type of Heksher. And doesn't that mean, Afilu l'mimni b'hu rishon v'sheni? And I mean, we weren't talking about Heksher Shechita, whether it's Mimni Bo Rishon V'Sheni. Your only question was Chibas HaKodesh. So apparently we take for granted that this is regular Heksher. I mean, otherwise you would have to explain, I'm introducing this new concept of Hukshuru B'Shechita, which isn't a real Heksher, but it's Ifsule, you know, something like that. But he doesn't make any distinction over here. He's talking about Chulin. How could it mean Ifsule Luhu? Chulin isn't Ifsule Luhu. There's no psul in chulin if it's tame. So when he says hukshir, the only meaning is really hukshir. Like Abed Dinim of Tuma. You can tell me when it comes to kachin, maybe hukshir needs to become possible. But what possible meaning would that have in the context of chulin? And here, according to you, Rabbi Elazar, I don't understand. It's not ochlin abab amayim. It's a totally off the wall, new type of action. And nonetheless, obviously it's affecting chulin, which means that we're mini barish and vashini. So according to you, Rabbi Elazar, the Mishnah makes no sense. Omar le Abaye, yeah, of course, that's true. But the takana of the shvita being makshir, the Rabbanan made it a din. They said, let this be the equivalent of heksher, even as if it was Hukshur B'mayim. But it's all Minar Rabbanan. The Rabbi Elazar was talking about in terms of the deraisa of Heksher. It's true. You cannot be Makshur for real Tumah of Lamini Berisha Vesheni or real Tumah that's going to be able to affect Chulen unless it's real Mashkin. That's what Rabbi Elazar would say. So you can't bring a raya over here. Amar Rebbe Zera, okay, I got another raya against Rebbe Elazar. Look, remember our wonderful case of Habotzer Legat. Let me just remind you of that very sad day. And I would not give you false hope on this strange and mournful day, which the Gemara says was his Kiyo, was the day of the making of the Egel Azov, in which Hillel was absolutely shut up by Shammai and his Talmidim over there. That was the day that it was this Rabu. It was a terrible day. Anyway, and the question over there was Habotzer Legat. So the issue is, obviously, if somebody is being botzer his grapes in order to put it into a wine press and make wine out of it, ultimately he wants the juice of the grapes to come out. But he doesn't want the juice of the grapes to come out while they're being picked and they're falling on the ground, does he? So therefore, so Hillel said that, well, if it got wet from grape juice while it was picking, that's not considered to be kiyitain dumya dechiyutan, or kiyutan dumya dechiyitain. He doesn't want it. And therefore, it doesn't become mukshel kabutuma. Whereas Shammai says, we make a gezerah, because what happens if somebody is using plastic bags as the way in which he's putting his grapes? If he's using plastic bags, then any leakage from the grapes he's perfectly happy about, because he wants to throw it in anyway with all the water. He's just going to open the bag and pour it into the gut. So therefore, even though currently this guy's one of the old-fashioned ones who doesn't want to take this newfangled plastic stuff, and he uses a basket just like his granddaddy did, and in a basket the juice will drop out. But if we let that go by and say it's not muksha, the next guy who's using plastic bags will think it's not muksha and will end up with tuma. Therefore, we make a gezera. Okay. And Hillel was outvoted, v'shasik le'Hillel l'Shammai, and so on. Now, according to Rebbe Elazar, who says, the Torah Beferish says that anything that is not actually exposed to Mayim or Mayim equivalent as a Kiyitain, a Dumya de Chiyutan here, I should say Chiyutan, Dumya de Chiyutan, therefore this would not really be included in that pasuk, because it's not a chiyutan dumya chiyutan, because I don't want it to drip out. So was it ever exposed in this way to Mashka? No. And nonetheless, it says over here that it's mukshar, and we're talking about chulin. So it can't be to be pasul. It must be lemimne berisha v'sheni. According to you, Rebbe Elazar, the whole Mishnah is ridiculous. What are they arguing about? It cannot be mukshar. Yeah, okay, I mean, it's the same idea, says Abaya. It means that midrabbanan, that Shammai said, we made a takana, that it's as if it were moksha. Doesn't mean it's really moksha. So what's your problem? Says Rabbi Yosef, you know, I don't know what's with you guys. Whatever question, you know, we've already gone out of the realm of scientific discussion. We bring you a raya, and you say, well, it means it's the equivalent of. He brings you a raya, you say it's the equivalent of. Fine! So then it's the equivalent of. So why isn't Reish Lakish satisfied with the same idea? It's the equivalent of. You want to say there's this din of Chibas HaKodesh, you know? Okay, that's like the Rabbanan made Chibas HaKodesh similar to Botzer Legat, where they made it similar to the case of Rebbe Elazar. I mean, I don't get it. Why are we asking then? Let's see that inside. Amalei Rav Yosef, listen. I bring you a raya from our Mishnah, right? So Uksha B'Shchita. Anybody, you tell me? No, it's as if it's Uksha B'Shchita. It was a takana. I mean, so there's no answer anymore, right? Then Rabbi Zera asks you the same question from Habotzer Legat. And you say, no, it means it's the equivalent of. Fine. So then if we're talking about a matrix world of equivalences, why doesn't Reish Lakish say the same thing? It's the equivalent of. I mean, if you're telling me every time we make this takana, it's the equivalent of, so then that's Reish Lakish's answer. What do you mean? Do you count Rishon Rishani? Of course you do. It's the equivalent of. Ha ha ha. So anyway, we're going to end up with equivalent ofs. Why not just start off with equivalent ofs? I don't get this whole conversation. So then according to Reb Shimon ben Lakish Nami, it should be clear. There's always equivalent ofs. Right? So then that means that the takana of Kibas HaKodesh was to be like Hechshamayim. So what's bothering Reish Lakish? If everywhere we look, we talk about equivalencies, like Ukshar B'Shechita equivalent to, so then Ukshar B'Chivas HaKadosh is equivalent to, right? Omaleh, hey, I see you missed the whole point. Oh my God. Reish Lakish wasn't asking whether the din of Chibas HaKadosh was a takana that's the equivalent of. Reish Lakish wasn't talking about not burning it but not eating it because it's not really tummy. Reish Lakish wanted to know whether you can actually burn it, whether it was a D'oraisa tumah. What? D'oraisa tumah? You mean Chibas HaKadosh is a D'oraisa? And I've been going around hobbling the whole day thinking that Chibas HaKadosh is a takana and it's just another one of these equivalent ofs? Oh my gosh. Says Abayat Rav Yosef, what do you think? He didn't know whether you're supposed to be tailing this, because if it was Makabal Tuma from something that was a Muksha Makabal Tuma through Chibas HaKadosh, that wasn't his question, my dear. His question was, do you burn it? In terms of being Makabal Tuma from something that was Muksha only through Chibas HaKadosh, is it Rishon Vesheni, real Tuma? What do you bring me riots from Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Zera about Takanas Derabanan? What? So you're telling me Michlal de Chibat HaKodesh D'oraita? Where does it say in the Torah anything about Chibat HaKodesh? I always thought it was just like a Takana, so that's why I kept bringing riots from these other Takanas. Michlal de Chibat HaKodesh D'oraita? Where would it come from? Minolan, what would be the source of a D'oraita for Chibat HaKodesh? I mean, if it's from the pasuk that says, "Ilema d'ichtiv, v'habasar asher yiga b'chol tamei lo ye'achel be'esh yisaref." Okay, so what are we talking about over here? Meat of kachim that is tamei, you're not allowed to eat it. It's an iser lav d'oraisa to eat basar kodesh that's tamei, right? How did that basar become tamei? Excuse me. Where did it become tamei? Hi, Basid, this kasher b'mai. What made it Mukshal Kabal Tuma that the Torah should call it tummy, and that then you should be able to be mitami and be over a lav if you eat that Basid tummy? I mean, did it become tummy because of the dam of its shechita? No, because remember, Amar Rebchia Bar Ava, Amar Rebbe Yochanan, we just learned. Dam kachim eno machshir. How do we know that? Only dam that's nishpach kamayim is makshir. Is hegdish blood nishpach kamayim? The whole point is you collect the hegdish blood to put it on the mizbeah. Therefore, it's telling me hegdish blood is definitely not makshir lekabel tuma. Okay, so you'll cut that. All right. How did it be? I want to know. The Torah is talking about an iser that can never happen. Because it's talking about an iser of meat of kachim that becomes tamei, and meat of kachim can't become tamei. Where in the world would it have become tamei? Was it iskashir b'mashkir beit mitbechaya? So maybe in the mokum that we call the beit mitbechaya was actually keneged the mizbeach, was the tzofein of the mizbeach, and that was the place where there was that special area. We had the shulchanot, and we would cut off. We would strip the skin, and we would do hefshet v'nituach, and in doing that, we would hose down the meat, hose down anything that needed to be washed out. So there was lots of water over there, right? They were always hosing it off. And in that area, you'll say, well, okay, I mean, since the carbon is always exposed to water in the Beit HaMitbachayim, where it's hosed off, so then that would be makshir to be makabel tuma. No? No. Because Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Chanina, Mashke Beit Matbechaya. Remember this beautiful halacha we had back in Pesachim. Any of the mashkim that are in the Beit HaMitbechaim of the Beis HaMikdash, we have halacha l'meisha, Misinai, Mashke Beit Mitbechaya, Dechan. They are considered to be Tahor. And as Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Chanina explained, Lo Dayan Shein Dechan, quote, unquote, not only are they tar themselves if they're exposed to tuma, but they are not even makshir lekabel tuma. And therefore, over here, The halacha is that none of that water would be mekabel or makshir tuma because of a halacha labashim sinai, is the Rambam paskins, and therefore it wouldn't be makshir the baser of kodesh. So it explained to me again, where in the world is there baser kodesh that could be mekabel tuma since they're never exposed to any hechsher in the Beis HaMikdash? V'chi tema, maybe you'll say, now Rabbi Yossi wasn't referring to Mashkin in terms of the water they were hosing off. He was referring to any of the blood that falls to the ground while you're cleaning and you're stripping the hide and you're doing the butchering. No! He would have then said, Dam Beit Machayeh. He says, Mashke, which is a Lashon Rabim, any type of Mashkin that are there, which includes not only blood, it includes the water that you're hosing it down with. So it can't be from Mashke Beit Machayeh. The only explanation must be, it was Mukshe L'Kabel Tumah by definition. Why? Because it's Kadesh. And Chibas HaKadesh is Makshir. That's why Reish Lakish assumes that Chibas HaKadesh is D'oraisa. That is an awfully weak way. I mean, what's your problem? How was the meat becoming Mukshir? Shall I tell you a scenario? Here's the scenario. Mr. A is bringing his carbon shlamim. After all, it says in that pasuk to view. So, okay, he's bringing Mekayim the pasuk. He's bringing his carbon shlamim, walking along, and he gets to a little stream on the way to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, he wants this animal to drink heartily from that water because drinking facilitates taking off the skin afterwards, and he's very interested in making that as easy and as not damaging to the busser that's underneath as possible. So he walks the animal through the stream so that the animal can continue to bend down and take another of its last requests, which it fortunately doesn't know, but its last drink of water as it's going along to the Beis HaMikdash. And then he goes and he shechs it while there's still water on it from the stream. Some of the water drips off on them. I mean, really, is it so difficult to conceive of a situation where something would be tummy and you're going to actually ask me, how is it possible? Meat could never become tummy. I mean, come on. That's crazy. The Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, remember, we can have a simple case. A guy has a para of Zivchei Shlomim, and he walks it through a nachal on his way to the Beis HaMikdash. And then he shechs, and it's a dayin mashket of fe'achalam. I mean, listen, I can easily have Grok generate a little video about this, okay? You want to watch it? It'll be so cute. Fine. I don't understand how you bring a riot. It's ridiculous. Okay, fine. So let's take a look at the next piece in the pasuk, okay? And this, of course, this is the piece that we bring all over in the Gemara for the din of Chibas HaKodesh. It pashut repeats the word ve'habasar. Listen to how ungrammatical this is. Ve'habasar kol tahor yochal basar. What does that ve'habasar mean? What do you mean? And we're talking about the basar. Well, v'habasar kol tahor yochal, that makes no sense. So what is that referring to? Oh, that v'habasar is coming to tell me that even things like etzim levona are going to be mekabel tuma, and they would be included in the isser of achilas basar, even though they're not edible. Basar, etzim levona are not edible, are they? Bnei achila nino? Ah, that's the point. Chibas HaKodesh takes away the requirement of needing to be edible. That's the way it works as Heksher, don't you see? It's the same idea. It's a different level of a relationship to Adam, not defined by eating. You know, there are people who relate to things not only through their infantile mouthing it, like a child putting in the everything that they pick up into their mouths, you know, like some people do. Oh, wow, look at that, yum. But instead, it's the fact that it's Kadesh. So you see it for me here, from that pasuk, that Chibas HaKodesh must have made the Eitzim and Levina into an equivalent of real food. So chibas hakadosh baruch hu lo meshave lo ochel. Therefore, in this case of basar, you don't need it to be dripping water or anything. Is it kodesh? Well, then it certainly is good as eitzim v'levona, isn't it? And because of that, by definition, it's going to be mekabel tuma. So now I know what the fact is, that there is a concept, according to Reish Lakish, of chibas hakadosh b'diraisa. Now, Reish Lakish says, okay, now can we talk like two human beings about this? We're not talking about gezeiros. We're talking about a pasuk. And I'm asking you, now can we finally get down to real issues here? My, is that din of chibas hakadosh in the Torah? Is that a real din of tuma in terms of rishon v'sheni? Or, being as being in the context of the pasuk, it's only telling me dinim of kachim. It's a din of su. It's telling us that this thing is shayach to being nifsal by exposure to tuma. Doesn't make it the same as a real aksher. It doesn't say anything about aksher. It just says that it would also be usher to eat something that was exposed to tuma, even if it's not edible. So I want to know. What I'm asking is, it's taken you a whole day to get to understand what I asked. I'm asking whether that din of chibas hakodesh, is it merely lipsula de gufe, just to make the thing itself potso, because of exposure to tuma, which is a concept, remember, that we have all over. Truba, we say, is potso. It's not tame when it's exposed to tuma. So there's no further lamine barishan vishani on something that is potso. So I'm asking, is Chibas HaKodesh basically an openness to a psul of Tuma, or is Chibas HaKodesh an openness to the actuality of Tuma, which can then be transferred further? So Kimahani Chibas HaKodesh only as a psul, aval amine berisha v'sheni lo, doesn't really become possible to be able, to be able to pass on the Tuma, o dilma lo shana, maybe it's real, and it's the equivalent of Hakshar. Now this, all of this ties into the sugyas that we've been discussing about the concept of psul, when something becomes posul, when something becomes tame. All of these dapim have basically, it turns out, that through these dapim, we now understand the interrelationship of the topics that were brought up in the Mishnah, legabe hechsher for the dinim of hechsher for shchita, libet Rabbi Shimon, or what the dinim would have been of dam. And that's why the Mishnah confused us so badly by talking about yadayim is so avot. It was like, whoa, since when would yadayim is so avot have anything to do with this idea of whether something is moksha v'dam? That cracked open. Literally, three words in a Mishnah cracked open the entire sugya, that we had to clarify the dinim of the Mishnayos in Tahiris and the Mishnayos in Makshiri and Divrei Torah Baby Aniim B'Mokom Echad, but they are obviously Ashirim B'Mokom Acher. And now, as I mentioned to you yesterday, I got this one phone call from David Shaul. I'm sure Gabi will remember Rebbe Eliezer Berkowitz is now a big Rosh Hashiva in Toronto. Fantastic guy. So he was also, he also just sent me, that's so weird. So over half a century later, I get this email. The current Av Yomi of Chulin has brought back very fond memories of the pre-Shachris Chabura of 53 years ago. So apparently it's time for enjoying the previous limudim. Beautiful. Okay, I think that's not the same chabura that the other person was referring to. That was like a year later. That was an actual limud in the shir. This was a pre-shakras chabura, but it was another learning of chulin. So you never know. You may really come to enjoy this stuff. It just takes some more time.